Thank you, Mr. Meidinger. I'm going to put my glasses on so I can see, clarify all these holy people out here. So it's good to see everyone. I was asked to clarify one of the announcements regarding Night to be Much Remembered. You know, we have sort of a boundary line, and I think we know where that is. You know, for those on the side on the east, more of the southeast, and who do not have a place to go, the Nettles are going to not find you a place to go. They're actually going to welcome you into their home. So they have a lot of tables and chairs. So if you do not have a place to go, they are going to have you at their place. Eternal life is a gift. Now, it's not just a gift that is handed out freely. There's something required to be able to receive this gift. Just as there are individuals that want to donate their money, or even parents who have money they want to will to their children, sometimes they put a restriction or a responsibility or requirements to be able to receive that gift. So in other words, you have to be disciplined in how you live your life or what you do to be able to receive that gift. And that's the same way with God. There are requirements to be able to receive his gift. A fundamental requirement of our calling is to overcome a life of sin and put on a life of obedience to God. We know that when Peter spoke to the people on the day of Pentecost to repent for the remission of sins. Repent, see your sins, and do something about it. Change, live a different life. God desires that we come out of sin. What is sin? I have three quick points. Because the message today is, what is forgiveness? That's the title of the message, is actually forgiveness. But before we can talk about forgiveness, we have to understand, well, what do I need to be forgiven of? Is there something that I need to be forgiven of? Sometimes we hear a lot that God's law is done away with, that there's no reason to keep the law anymore. Jesus Christ died for our sins. I was thinking about this, and there's a lot of religions that believe that, but you also stop and think about modern-day Christianity. They'll go to a priest and confess. They'll say, "Father, I have sinned," and they tell them their sins. Well, if the law has been done away with, and they teach that, why are they going to confession and say they sinned? But what is sin? We understand and we know these points. We're in this body, the song we just sang last. We're the body of Christ. And we understand that the law needs to be kept. We also understand that we know that we can't keep the law, God's law, without making mistakes. But these are fundamental beliefs that we understand. But it's an introduction to forgiveness. And for that, we need to know, what is sin? Well, sin is a transgression of God's law. When we break God's law, we sin. We understand that. 1 John 3, chapter 4. We also understand that the wages of sin is death. So if we break God's law, we receive death. The wages of sin is death. And that's something that we do not want to practice. And we also understand, the third point is, everyone has sinned. We know that everyone has sinned. Talks about that 1 John, also Romans 3:23. So we understand what sin is. It's based on God's word. We understand that his law is broken. And we understand that we sin against God because it's his law. In our calling, God shows us that we have this huge debt. When he opens our eyes, he helps us to see that we have this huge amount of sin that cannot be forgiven without a Savior. We can't do it on our own. And there's a parable, I'm not going to turn over there, but if you want to jot it down, it's Matthew 18, probably beginning in 23 is where you get into the meat of it. And through my message today, I'm not going to turn to a lot of scriptures. I'll refer to most of them. So for those who get angry that we have to turn to them and read them, you know, please forgive me. But that parable we have where Peter asks Jesus Christ, do I have to forgive my brother? And how many times do I have to forgive him? Is it seven times? Or seven times 70? So this relation is, and God is saying, listen, this parable is, there's this huge debt of sin that we've committed. It cannot be paid. And God is willing to give his son to die in our place so our sins can be forgiven. And in that parable, it shows that this debt is so huge, it cannot be paid back. And then as he tells us to go out, he tells us to do likewise, to forgive those who sin against us. And we're able to do that because God has sacrificed his son. God is the one who sacrificed, and Jesus Christ was the one who accepted to be that sacrifice. And through that sacrifice, sins can be forgiven. And if you go to that parable, it shows that that individual who received that amazing gift of forgiveness of sin that he could not take upon himself, he was told, we are told, to go and do likewise, to forgive those who sin against us. Not just forgive those who only are, okay, I forgive you, but even those who don't forgive us, we are to forgive. And we're to look at those debts that people, when they sin against us, as small inconveniences. Pray for them and forgive them. And we're able to do that because God loved us first. That's 1 John 4:19. God loved us first. He forgave us of our sins. And through that process, we have the opportunity and this wonderful blessing to be able to forgive others. Now we could just glance at this concept as this concept of forgiveness as basic and simple, but it's large in application. And fundamentally it's profound and it is complex. Forgiveness is required for salvation. If God did not sacrifice his son, we'd be dead in our sins. If we don't forgive others who sin against us, there is no salvation. We can keep the Sabbath, right? We can keep the letter of the law. We can tithe. But without forgiveness, there's no eternal life. John the Baptist, Luke 1:77, says, as John is preparing the way of Jesus Christ. He's telling individuals. He's told, this is what you're going to say to them. To give knowledge of salvation to God's people. How? By the remission of their sins. To let them know that they must see that their sins need to be forgiven. We're unable to overcome sin without forgiveness. We're unable to keep God's law without forgiveness. The law to the extent to be able to receive eternal life. The Bible describes many reasons why we should forgive others. The Bible's filled with that. And if you really look at it, forgiveness is a miraculous gift. Not everyone has been given that gift. We've been given an amazing gift. God so loved the world. In time, everyone will get the opportunity. But he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die, to suffer for us, for humanity, to take on that death penalty, forgiveness of sin. It's huge. It needs to sink in what God has done for us. Now in Ephesians, you can turn there later, chapter 3, 14 through 22, describes how God and Jesus Christ are bringing us into their family. It describes how there's a Father and there's a Son. And that through the Son, we receive forgiveness. And through that forgiveness, we receive love. And through that process of obeying God, we become like them. It also says that this plan was planned before the creation of the worlds, before time began, before sin was ever committed. This plan was already instituted that Jesus Christ was going to have to die, that God the Father was going to sacrifice his Son. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, where it says that. So my SPS, what is forgiveness? Today, let's define it. How does it apply? And then, as we go through this, we can be asking ourselves, am I applying this amazing gift in my life? I have 4 points, 4 quick points. Now, I got the base of this message from Scott Delamater, who gave a message on Forgiveness 101 in March of 2013. Now, if you go back and listen to that message, it'll tell you the basics, all right? And he dives in deep into the scriptures and talks about the writer or what he was really talking about. He dives into the Greek words. So I recommend that as well. I hope I was able to make this message my own, but it was based on what he said in that message. So point number one, what is forgiveness? And we have to remember that God is love. And through love is the only way that we can have forgiveness. Through his love is the only way we can express that forgiveness. So forgiveness is a release from bondage. It's also a release from the death penalty. It's a release from bondage. Release from bondage or imprisonment as though the sin never happened. When we are forgiven and we're practicing God's way of life, we're living to him. When we go to him and ask for our sins to be forgiven, they're washed away. They're blotted out. They're gone. That death penalty is no longer on us. Jesus Christ, it goes on him, and he's the one who died for us. Repent and believe for the forgiveness of sins. Repent, change, and believe. Believe in the Word of God and see that your sins need to be forgiven. Sin means we're in bondage, we're imprisoned, we're enslaved to something. Now, when God told Adam to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he says, don't eat of it because you will surely die. You're surely going to be captured. It's surely going to happen. When we sin, we're dead. As soon as Eve ate of that fruit, of that tree, she was dead. She was alive to God before that because she had no sin. When we sin, we're dead. We're dead in our sins. And the only way to make us alive is through Jesus Christ. Being the sacrifice and the Father sacrificing Jesus Christ. Sometimes, I've said this from the pulpit, that it was a half lie. It was a half truth. No, it was a total lie. I was corrected on that. It's a total lie. And you'll see that as we go through here, that when we sin, we're captured, we're imprisoned, we're enslaved, and there's no way out. We're dead. We're dead in our sins. And eventually, we will die physically. And eventually, if we don't repent, we will die forever. John 8:34, Jesus Christ says to the Jews as he's talking to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." When we commit to something, we're enslaved to it. Whether we're enslaved to righteousness or enslaved to sin. Commit describes a mode of action. It's a practice. We're committed. And here it's saying you're committed to this sin. You've committed this sin. It's your master. It now has rule over you until we're released. Jesus Christ didn't have to be that sacrifice when Eve ate of that fruit. He already knew we were going to sin. God the Father and Jesus Christ already knew that. And forgiveness loosens that binding, that grip in practicing sin. Romans 6:16 says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves to be a slave to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" Unrepented sin will control us and separate us from God. Even if we sin right now. If we sin right now, it's going to separate us. And it will control us unless we get it out. And we apply that sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our life. Romans 6:12 says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts." Satan has control of us. We, of our own sinful nature, can control ourselves as well. So that's point number one. Point number two. Forgiveness of sin is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we're redeemed. That's how we're bought back, through the death of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:14 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin." If Jesus Christ did not die and have shedding of blood, our sins could not be forgiven. Eve would not be able to be resurrected, to have the opportunity to be alive with her sins forgiven. She did die. We all die. We have the new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. So forgiveness of sin is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That death penalty, because of him, is blotted out. If we use it, it's blotted out. The penalty is no longer owed because Jesus Christ took it in our place. Point number three. Forgiveness makes us alive. Forgiveness makes us alive. Colossians 2:13 says, as Paul is saying here, "And you being dead in your sins." So he says the same thing. When you sin, you're dead. There's no hope. "And you being dead in your sins," every time we sin, we're dead. All right? God opened our eyes and helped us see that we had a lot of sin and we were baptized. Those sins were forgiven. We had laying on of hands. And says, and this uncircumcision of your flesh, meaning your sinful nature, has not been cut away. He has made alive, how? Together with him, having forgiven you of all your sins. Our sins are forgiven. And then we're made alive. Until then, we're dead. If we sin and hold on to sin and don't repent, we're dead in our sins. When we repent and apply forgiveness, we become alive. And then God can work with us. Verse 12 talks about that baptism. Buried with him in baptism. We're buried in death. We've died to sin. We want to be alive to the life of Jesus Christ. In which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. We're alive. Because Christ is alive. And we'll respond. And we can have our sins forgiven. Verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. When we sinned, we had a legal document written against us that we received the death penalty. We have an IOU of death. A legal document. But you know what? Christ wants to rip that up. He wants to tear it up and throw it away. But we need to be realigned. Because that law was broken, we need to be realigned with God. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, or having nailed it to the post. This is where people say, no, that law has been nailed to the post. Never, no longer have to keep it. No, the penalty of the law is nailed to that post. It's nailed. If we obey God and live to God and follow, we repent, right? We believe, and we want our sins forgiven. Then, his sacrifice is applied to us. Then we're made alive. And that's how we want to live. We don't want to be hanging on to our sins because we're dead in our sins. If we're dead in our sins, there's no eternal life. If we're dead in our sins, we cannot grow spiritually. And we talk all the time about God's law not being done away with. You know, repent, you know, and believe, right? Repent, change, and believe. We know that. So we're made alive, and as we live a life of obedience to God, we can grow. We can grow in all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You know, sometimes we may get frustrated. I don't understand this. I don't see this. Well, what's the basic fundamental belief that we have? We have to stop sinning, right? We have a high priest, Jesus Christ, as our Passover lamb. He's there, all right? He's there to die for us, to take on that sin, and he's there to help us to overcome. We put out sin, days of unleavened bread leading up to that. We get all that leavening out that represents sin during that time. And we don't want anything to do with it. We want to be, but you know what? We can't just try to get it out. We get it out through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It goes on him. And then during the days of unleavened bread, we eat that unleavened bread. Jesus Christ is unleavened. And we replace that sin, that deadness, with being alive. Sometimes we look at our life. We want our life to be smooth. We want our diseases healed. We want this pain and suffering gone. And God does that. God does heal. That's one of God's name. He heals. We have many examples of people who have been healed. And there's many examples of people who have not been healed yet. But you know what? If life was easy, How could we really understand and know God? We're made strong through our weaknesses, right? We learn, we grow. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to suffer for doing evil. We want to suffer through forgiveness of sin. We want our sins forgiven, and we'll suffer for righteousness' sake. We hear this scripture all the time. James chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, maybe goes into verse 4, right? Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various testings or trials. You know what? We say, oh, I got to count it all joy. That's not what it's talking about. That word joy is the same word used in Galatians 5:22. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we continue in joy through all of our testings. We continue in forgiveness of sin through all of our testings. People who sin against us, I'm still going to forgive them. We persevere. We continue. We're patient. We endure. We continue on. We continue in joy through whatever testing and trials we have. And we see that in examples in you. Sometimes we don't really realize I'm going through this. And it's a good reminder to let people know you're setting a good example. You're setting a godly example. And we can also see if we're not setting a godly example, right? Because it says we do this in faith. We do this and as we obey God, living to Him. And He says if you don't understand it, as you continue through those verses, it says pray for wisdom, right? Through forgiveness of sin, we grow in all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Love surpasses all knowledge. That's in Ephesians chapter 3, I believe 19. Love surpasses any type of our understanding that we may have in trying to figure it out. We can't. But if we apply forgiveness of sin, we use that sacrifice, we put it in our life, then that understanding comes. We continue in joy no matter what. Isn't that what Jesus Christ did when they killed him? Forgive him. Isn't that what Stephen did when they killed him? Father, forgive. 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 God does that because God is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. We put out sin and then we are alive and God can work with us. So forgiveness makes us alive. And when we don't do that, and we can see the frustration in our lives, we have to call it what it is. We derail ourselves. We put our own roadblocks in the way. God says to forgive. Doesn't mean the other person is going to accept that, but we must forgive. Jesus Christ has come to heal. And Isaiah has prophesied that he would come to heal. And Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Jesus Christ. The Spirit, the Father, is upon me, Jesus Christ is saying. It's on me. I have a responsibility. Because He has anointed me. It's through Jesus Christ. Try to do this on ourselves, by ourselves, it's not going to happen. It's impossible. We're still holding on to sin. We're dead in our sins. And God can't work with us. We need to be made alive. He says, He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to the humble, to those who want to hear. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, those who have been shipwrecked, destroyed. Their lives are in peril. I'm here to proclaim liberty. Liberty from what? Liberty from bondage, right? Bondage results from sin. I'm here to proclaim this, that this is why I'm coming. And recovery to the sight of the blind. I'm here to open the eyes so they can see and understand that they want to be humble. And then he says, I'm going to put it into action. I'm actually going to be able to do it. Because he says, to set at liberty, I'm going to do it. I'll be able to set at liberty because I'm going to be that sacrifice. Those who are oppressed. Those, and that's every one of us. I'm going to be that sacrifice. Point number four. Forgiveness is more than just a pardon from sins. If we have a conscience, we're going to be concerned about what we do. When we do something wrong, our conscience is going to prick our mind and say, hey, you did something wrong. It's going to tell us that we sinned, or we broke a law at work, or we did something that we weren't supposed to do. People that go and hurt people in the masses have no conscience. They can't feel what those other people are going through. They can't feel. They have no conscience. And that will become worse and worse as time goes on. The mass killings and the shootings are only going to get worse because they're full of sin. They don't want to obey God. They don't want to recognize Him. They don't want to recognize that they have to obey these words. If they knew that God existed, well, then I'd have to obey Him. So they put that out. Do we do that with ourselves? Do we continue in sin and not repent? If we do, our conscience will slowly dissipate. Because, hey, I sinned here, I sinned there, I'm not really repenting. But you know what? When we sin, why did Jesus Christ die? Why did He suffer? Why did He go through the torture, the torment? God in the flesh, beaten, humiliated, scourged, spit upon, He took it. When we sin, there's so much love that they both have that if there was only one person in this world that sinned, they would still do it. So you have to look at that when we sin. So when we go and say, God, forgive me my sins, I just did this, and we're real casual and we're not really thinking about it, we just say, what do you think happens to that sin? Does it just disappear? No. If God accepts our prayer and we're sincere about changing and wanting to overcome, that sin gets applied to Jesus Christ. It goes on Him. He paid for our death penalty. He suffered for it. So every time we sin, we have to recognize and see that it's more than just a pardon. That penalty of sin needs to be applied to someone. If it doesn't get applied to Him, who does it get applied to? It stays with us. And then we get the death penalty. We continue in sin. We're dead in our sins. And we're not made alive. And we can't grow spiritually. So we can look at our lives and say, hey, what am I doing? We have the model prayer. And in that model prayer, you know, if we really want to accept the sacrifice of God the Father, and we want that living bread, we want our sins to be forgiven, we want that living bread, that sacrifice to be applied to us. Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, it can mean physical as well, but if we're only focused on the physical, we're going to die in our sins. We need the spiritual bread for our sins to be forgiven. We need that sacrifice. give us, not me, give us this day our daily sacrifice. So I can forgive. So we can forgive. Forgive us of who we are and what we do. Help us to forgive others so that our sins can also be forgiven. We need that sacrifice. We need that forgiveness, or we can't grow. Jesus Christ said, Matthew 26:28, "For this is my blood," talking about the wine that we're going to be taking at the Passover service. That wine represents the blood of Jesus Christ. We renew our commitment. For any of us who say, "I'm not worthy to take the Passover," you're right. We're not. But that's not why we take the Passover. We do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us to make us alive, to help us to come out of our sins, which we're dead in. We do this in remembrance of him. It says, "For this is the blood," that wine, "of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sin." We need that sacrifice. We need the Passover. We need to recommit our life to God. And we need to continue living that now, or we will be taking the Passover unworthy. If we go to that Passover and we're dead in our sins, we're taking it in an unworthy manner. We need to be alive. Sinners who do not repent will be blotted out. We know that. It's in the scriptures. We're told that. They may be very sincere. They may have their beliefs, how they live and what they're doing. And it looks like, oh, they look like a pretty good Christian. But you know what? If they're not putting God first, they're not called and using the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, they have other idols before God, and God hates that. They can be sincere, but they can also be sincerely wrong. We have the truth. We have God's words. And if we're not of the truth, we're liars. And all liars have no part in the kingdom of God. So in conclusion, what happens when we are forgiven? Freedom from slavery of sin and the death penalty. That's what happens. The penalty of sin is transferred to Jesus Christ. That's the love that the Father and the Son have. Do we truly and deeply understand that? Through forgiveness of sin, by applying our lives, we can. We're made alive and God can work with us. God forgets our sins when we continue to repent. So our failure to not forgive will derail us and we will not receive eternal life. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 32 in closing. We have a wonderful blessing, a wonderful gift that the Father has given us. Let's not take it for granted. Psalm chapter 32. "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven." Blessed. Oh, how extremely blessed. We are extremely blessed. We don't have to die. We don't have to live in death. We don't have to die for eternity. We are extremely blessed to be given the opportunity to receive eternal life. But that comes with conditions. That comes with discipline. But we are extremely blessed. "Happy is he," right, "whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." We're not going to try to cover it up. We're not going to try to be deceitful and say, "I still want to hang on to this." We want to get rid of death, and we want to put on life. How do we do that? Verse 5. "I acknowledge my sin to you." Who do we acknowledge it to? We acknowledge it to God. And there's a process of how that process works. We also have to acknowledge it to the people we sinned against. "And my iniquity I have not hidden." We're not hiding it. We're not sweeping it under the rug. We're confessing it. We're confessing them. "I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you will forgive the iniquity of my sin." That's how it's done. Verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. We're made right for this process. And shout for joy, all you upright. Joy, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We can live in this joy no matter what we go through, no matter what we do. We can apply this forgiveness that's been given to us. We can forgive others in our life, no matter, even if they don't accept it, even if they're going to continue to hurt us, we still forgive. God has covered, or God has offered His Son for us, which makes this all possible. Let's make sure we are applying the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our lives. Why? So we can be released from sin, giving God glory by living to Him, and receive the gift of eternal life that He so much desires to give us.